Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk, very straight talk, especially today on health. I'm here with a wonderful woman. She was a client, a patient, and she's my guest today. Her name is Danielle. Say hello.
Hello, Dr. Medici.
And she's got a story for you. Remember, the theme of the show, why you're listening to the show, why you're telling your friends about the show, is the following. If you know somebody who's taking the supplements, the nutrition, or listening to the allopath, and they're smart people who are sincere about their healing, just spinning around in circles for day after month after year after decade sometimes, get them to this show, because we're laying down a paradigm. We're giving you a perspective that I think is very cutting edge. And just as I brought Marianne on the show a couple of weeks ago, I'm bringing Danielle today, because these people are in my Hall of Fame. And that means they were in trouble, serious trouble, life-threatening trouble, the kind of trouble that in the old days you just lock the door and throw away the key kind of trouble. They came from childhoods that were extremely challenged. They got physically sick with tons of the symptoms that all of you share. And they dug their way out of the hole bit by bit by bit, because they evolved perspective. They deepened their faith, and they translated that faith into action. And that's how you heal. And that is not the prevalent theme. That is not what people are doing. Forget allopathic medicine. The MD stuff is, when it works, and when it doesn't, well, we all know it doesn't. I'm referring to how holistic medicine, natural medicine, nutritional medicine works. And what I'm saying is, when you're just downing herbs at the exclusion of all the other integrations, when you're just downing herbs and you're not getting what's foundational, you don't really understand then how to use the herbs. So that's the theme of the show, if you're tuning in to the first time. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc on the website. Here's a woman that came in a couple of years ago, and the page was filled with problems. Couldn't sleep, a 10. Constipation to where the stools were always bloody, a 10. Pain all over the body. I'm talking the kind of pain where if you just press lightly into the tissue, the person would scream in pain, burning, screaming pain, bad fibromyalgia, no memory whatsoever, very, very poor retention, pain in the heels, pain in the joints, skin discolorations, you name it, she'd been through it, off a life and a childhood of a lot of emotional trauma that she'll talk to you about today. A period each month, a menses, her bleeding cycle to the point where she just about passed out. I'm talking about a time bomb. I'm talking about the kinds of things that you see out there that present in your office as a long, 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 never-ending list of problems. And the point to you guys is you can't go about this point by point. You've got to hit fundamental concepts. You've got to change perspectives to deliver. So I'm going to start, Danielle, with I think one of the most poignant things that you've said to me. That you and your dad got to the point where, backed into a shower one day, the bathroom where the shower was, you had to turn to him and tell him, if you don't leave me alone, I'm going to kill you. And how old were you?
I think I was in the sixth grade.
And that night, you, I think in your own words, shook all night.
I shook for the rest of the night because I was so scared at how determined I had been and how could I be filled with that much hate.
That's a feeling. I wish I had been a little bird on your shoulder back then to hold your in your pain and say that reaction was appropriate because you were under attack. But you see what happens, and this is what I wanted to say the other day. When a child is accosted that way, when they're either physically or verbally or sexually abused, and they have to get to the point where they feel like they have to fight for their life and they feel that level of hate, what they do is they internalize that hate. Mm. And they start to feel like something's wrong with them if God should just forget about their pain and leave them to that kind of a fate. And so they start to hate themselves. Mm. And that's the beginning, okay, of a process where that internalization of that feeling of get out of my way and let me live turns into I hate myself. And once that happens, Danielle, the autonomic nervous system shifts. In that night that you shook, your organs started to shake. And you can see, coming to see me that many years ago presented me with a situation where we couldn't really use herbs, because the herbs wouldn't go into your body. Now, those of you listening, there are so many of you in sympathetic dominance. But you fought back, you see. And what you did is you held your faith. And I've watched you over the last couple of years do something very characteristic of people who heal this. You started to understand that it just wasn't the verbiage. It was the verse, from often biblical verse, that you had to take to your body. I've watched your body come alive. And this is the connection that a lot of people don't make. They go through trauma. They suspect that their symptomology is connected to their trauma. But they don't know how to liberate their body. And this is where the cleanses come in. Now, one thing that happened to you is your blood got very thick. And we experience that. Women experience that in terms of their monthly cycle. So you had clots come out that were huge and hard, but your whole body was a clot. Mm. The minute you go into, from childhood, traumatic moments like that, what the blood does is it congeals. And this is really overlooked in Western medicine. As far as I'm concerned, functionally, it's overlooked in nutritional medicine. The thickening of the blood, extreme blood stasis, expressed as clots in the period, really represent what the entire body is doing. Now, you've told me some stories about how bad your periods were. Worst example being like what? What was a bad period years ago?
It would start about a week before, where I might get a little light headache. And then the headache would progress until about 24 hours before menstruation, and then it would get more intense, and then I'd start getting nauseous, then I would start puking, and usually about the time that I was vomiting is when my menstruation would start, and then I'd start with the cramping. And the cramping required medication in order for me to even be able to not writhe in pain for at least 24 to 48 hours.
And that period today is like what?
It used to be that it would start with some really super light spotting and then go into the heavy clotting and then spot again. So it would go anywhere from 7 to 9 days. And now it starts, bam, 3 days later it's done, bam. And
as you bleed less, you lose less bone. In the audience, the more you bleed, the more bone you lose. So number one, we retain your mineral reserve because we've shortened the number of days. Tell me about those two massive clots that came out. And after that, you didn't know what it was to have pain during a period. Check this story out.
So about 10 months into eating nutrient-dense foods and doing the enemas and trying to get bile, I released on two consecutive periods a clot that was about the size 2 inches to 3 inches in diameter. And after passing those, things diminished drastically on my symptomatology.
And that clot, see, that clot is how I see your body until that happens. So when somebody comes in and they have that type of symptomology with the period each month, I know that the ache and pain in their neck, their shoulders, their joints, their low back, their irritability, their anxiety is based on the fact that the blood, the viscosity, the thickness or density of the blood is just like that clot. So one of the things we have to do is thin the blood until we don't see that in the period anymore. For those of you in the audience where each month is a torture, that's what has to be associated to the rest of your symptoms. And ladies that are menopausal, if you've had histories like this, and now it's something else, like a lump in the breast, you have to associate those symptoms to that period. The female cycle is an indice, it's a measurement of your health. So when you came in like that, and I knew you had clots like that, where you, in your own words, were doubling over at times in pain each month and bleeding that much, we have stasis of blood, and then we also have depletion of bone. So a woman, through her cycles then, if they're not tended to correctly, greatly increases her chance for the osteoporosis and the lessening of the bone density, because over many years of 7 to 9 day periods, especially after children, you get to a point during menopause in the 50s where you've just destroyed so much bone to support all the blood loss each month, not to mention the clotting. That stasis is an ovarian cancer. That stasis of blood becomes a fibromyalgia. That stasis of blood becomes a stroke. That stasis of blood helps in the formation of fatty plaque in the arteries. It's so fundamental. Stasis of blood is not a lot different than saying we've just cut your oxygen supply by 50%. So there's number one. But here's a good one. You talked about bile. And people on this show know how much I emphasize that, because getting the bile to flow, getting the blood to thin, these are the fundamentals of health. These are the things people have to be looking at. Lots of people in your position come to me each and every month looking for a different herb for each of the 50 or 60 symptoms that we lay down. They come in and they say, I only want to work on these two symptoms, right? For a lot of people, this is ludicrous. It doesn't work. You understand that so deeply in yourself. But the other thing you understand is, how many coffee enemas for how long a period did you have to do before you got bile?
I started doing coffee enemas in 2010 in March. And I would say by midsummer, I had bile maybe once every other week or so, potentially. Then I started doing coffee enemas because my detox symptoms were so severe, every day in October of 2010 until every day in October 2011. And it wasn't until this year in May that I started getting bile with every coffee enema.
That's a threshold. The day you start to see the bile flow every single day is another leap. So what we did with you and what your health coach did with you, again, those of you listening, when Danielle came to see me, there was a point at which I had to take her off herbal medicine. I had to take her away from the herbal nutrition because I could see it was confusing her psyche. Now think about that. She comes in good faith to a doctor that understands how to use herbs so that her body can heal itself. And that doctor, sometime within the first 3 to 4 months, sends her away and says, you don't need to do this. You need to see such and such a person. So I sent Danielle to work with someone whose name, at her request, she does not want revealed. But she's a health coach. And she works with people. And she creates a relationship. And you had a beautiful relationship with this young woman.
Absolutely.
Two young women, okay, meeting like strangers on a train, exchanging journeys and sharing so that you didn't go into panic.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I can call this, Danielle, about thinning your blood. I can call this about opening your bile ducts after 2 years. right there, that's so novel. No one thinks in terms of the crescendo of moving bile. People do coffee enemas, they do them mechanically. That's what I've seen. People doing them for years with no concept of whether they're getting bile. And as you will attest to, when you started to see that yellow-green fluid, you started to see an even greater improvement in symptomology. So I could call this opening your bile ducts. I could call this waiting until you didn't clot that way. But really what I call this is taking the child in the shower, shaking and fighting for her integrity and life, and giving her an opportunity to share her experience with another female going through similar journeys or having graduated from similar journeys. If I were to credit myself on any level, that's how I would credit myself, because I knew that was an important way for you to go. You needed to be in a place where you could share your experience. And this is what happens to people. They go to a doctor, a holistic doctor. They take a therapy and then they're off. They're off in the middle of nowhere with all this stuff. And how they navigate it is, it's nearly impossible to do that, because every day it's a different feeling in your body that you need to have interpreted. And in your panic-stricken pattern, those sensations in the body can make you spin. They can flip your brain. And this is why people do not heal. Is the audience listening? Because this is really the difference between those that heal and those that don't heal. Go ahead.
Do you know what a revelation it was for me to realize that I don't have to respond with panic? I don't have to respond with anxiety. I don't have to respond with freaking out. I can respond calmly. I can respond with a pattern that thinks about what I'm going to do before I do it. I know that sounds really simple and silly, but it was monumental for me to think that I could respond calmly, that I can respond lovingly even.
That you could effectively find pleasure, or at least a sense of stability in the little flickers along the way. I saw you in union with your coach, so to speak, start to attach to the flickers, even though you were in a lot of pain. And you still have some bad days, but you know how to weather the storm.
Yes.
That's beautiful. Congratulations to you. Because I can tell you with 100% surety that you'll heal completely. All of these symptoms will be gone. And you're like a snowball now, Danielle, rolling down a hill. Once people get this, they accelerate. So the first 2 years was really to just get you in the pilot seat. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to take off. And I can already see that in the way you relax on the table. So let's point something else out to the audience. You had massage therapy, physical touch from your health coach every, 2 to 3 weeks? For how long?
For almost 2 years now.
Okay. So you've been investing a certain amount of money, a reasonable amount of money, so that you could see somebody every couple of weeks, and she'd spend 3-4 hours with you, and you guys would share and massage. And what you started to do is move from, and this is so important, because I'm watching you guys. I'm supervising this. And what I'm checking in with is, how does Danielle respond to deeper touch? Which is just like saying those clots you passed are like the blood in your arms, the blood in your back, the blood in your neck. It's hypercoagulated. It's like the whole body is a sprained ankle. And when you touch a sprained ankle, even if it's the third week, it hurts. Now, I remember when I first saw you, just minimal pressure, you screamed. And I remember saying to you, I remember looking at you, and I want the audience to catch this, I remember looking at you and knowing you'll be fine, which is a whole other art that I want to talk about in a moment. But I couldn't do a thing with you then, because what had to happen is we had to create a educational forum around you so you could journey your storm. And then increasingly, she had to go deeper and deeper into your body. And as you cleaned your blood as you thinned it, as you moved your bile, we finally got to the place where you could start to access core. Core psyche, core chemistry. In other words, really start to shift your sympathetic dominant or nervous, anxiety-ridden state into calm. And this is what's been happening with your very fine husband to attest to that fact, and your very fine son to attest to that fact. So we can talk about overcoming self-hate. Self-hate being an adaptive pattern. Self-hate's an adaptive pattern. I have people that go home and self-mutilate. That's how bad the self-hate is. They go home and beat themselves up. That's how they understand their world. Something happened bad, or things happened bad, and there's got to be a reason. The only reason things could happen that bad is because they're bad. And so what the child does is it drinks the Kool-Aid. Then it wants to kill itself all the way to suicide. Shy of suicide, we self-mutilate. Shy of self-mutilating, we just get down on ourselves. And whether we act out overtly or we do this mutilation passively is about other issues we won't get into. But the point is, you take that sympathetic dominant, stressed out state, and you put a person in a journey that ultimately allows them to start to release those tensions from their tissue. You just can't talk in terms of the mind. You see, I would put out there to all of you that prayer is much bigger than words. Prayer is bigger than words. Prayer is an inhabitation. Prayer is a full and total occupation of every cell in your body. That prayer occupies every cell of your body. And the toxicities in your blood and the lack of flexibility make it difficult for the prayer to occupy you more deeply into the tissue. So when you started moving bile, when you started thinning blood, when we started to see that palpatorily we could get in more deeply, you started to find more and more and more of your faith. Now tell me, tell us, tell them about this fast you did. It was a 7-day colon cleanse that, you know, she got the nutrition from Premier Nutrition Labs. And it was an adapted colon cleanse that anyone listening can access. Just call the company and tell me about this, because this was, I think, up to date, critical mass for you.
Somebody last Sunday asked a question, what's the point of the food and the cleansing and the flexibility if it's all psyche? And I answered that with, it took 2 years of nutrient-dense food and cleansing in order for me to even take a look at my psyche and be willing to admit, hey, maybe that's the core issue here. Maybe that's what's driving the illness. And before that, I had too much shame. And speaking of shame, I remember distinctly with a certain bile release having shame leave in the toilet.
I find that amazing. Say that again so they catch this.
I've had 3 distinct bile releases with release of fear of God, shame, and unforgiveness.
That puts you in the Hall of Fame as far as I'm concerned. What I want to point out to the audience is what I saw in you the day I met you was enormous spiritual intelligence. I saw my job is to see the density or integrity of people's connection to God. That's what I'm supposed to be able to do. Because some people come ready. Their faith is there. They just can't translate it to their body. So all I do is help them clear the channels in the body. Is everybody getting this? This is as big as it gets. No one in prayer should do prayer at the exclusion of cleaning the blood. The connection between the two You can't have one without the other. They are both in reciprocity. For those of you who pray, for those of you who gather, understand this. Understand that when those bile ducts are clogged, when you're constipated, when you've got these nutritional, biological imbalances in the body, it's very difficult. It's possible, but you're working against your body. But you see, you went into this cleanse, Danielle, and just like I saw in your face the day I met you, I watch people navigate. You see, I watch different types of people. The ones that I bring on the show are the ones that I watch in awe at the way they navigate through their process, because it's the process that we're not understanding. Mm. And this cleanse you did, and the way you just said, you released bile, and with the bile went the shame. That's to say that whatever you were releasing from your tissue was the same bunch of chemicals that you grew way back in that bathroom scene where you had to draw a line and tell somebody, no less a dad, that if you don't leave me alone, I'm going to kill you. The chemical damage in that body stayed in that body, and you identified it. I didn't ask you to identify this. This was all news to me as of two nights ago. That's a lot of power. That's what you got to understand. Because you see, as you liberate this energy, okay, what are you going to do with it all? And this is the point. You're going to meet, okay, a channel into which you're going to be asked to engage creatively. You see, you can't block all that energy, liberate all that energy, and not want to use it. And I have no doubt you will find your service, other than being a wonderful mother. Which I should stop now and just talk about your wonderful son and how he's picked up a lot of your old patterns, but he's picked up a lot of your new patterns. Now, I met your son, beautiful kid, all right? But I think the diagnosis was ADD or bipolar. What was it?
I don't remember that he was diagnosed with anything in particular.
But there's been any issues at school?
He just had a lot of trouble interacting with others, and it stemmed from self-hate that he'd picked up from me.
Which you two dialogue about.
Yes.
So I'm looking at this beautiful-looking, handsome young man, obviously spiritually attuned, and he's got self-hate.
That I never expressly stated, but that he picked up from me just from what my body broadcast because of what you've already stated happened when I was younger. And the second 7-day colon cleanse that I went through, God helped me to reintegrate myself with myself to where I was willing to love myself. I still don't know quite how God did it, but he did. And I know that I am whole again, and I know that by a month later, after this fast ended, by my son, who has never been able to express any kind of self-like or self-love, saying, yeah, Mom, I'm okay with loving myself. Yeah, Mom.
Unbelievable.
I like myself.
Unbelievable. That's unbelievable. I mean, I exalt you. I mean, really, as a mother, as a person, I mean, that's astounding. That's astounding. All the money, time, and energy mothers put into saving their kids from their own fates, all the love and good intention, and you can see connecting your spirit to the cells of your body by cleaning the blood and really being the transformation is the vibration that your wonderful young son is picking up on. There's no better form of motherhood. There's no better form of counseling. And what we do with these kids today, first we drug the mother, and then we drug the kid, and we tell them it's genetic. If that is not the devil, I don't know where the devil lives. If that is not the devil, I don't know where the devil lives. Give me a few examples of that. Okay, I know you've had suggestions to just medicate. Medicate for anxiety. Mm-hmm. Instead, you ate a ton of
raw fat. And the first time I had been so miserable before I was introduced to raw fats and nutrient-dense foods that I thought I was going a little crazy. This was 2 years ago this month. And within 2 hours of eating some raw butter and raw cream, I calmed down enough to where I laid down. I hadn't slept for almost 30 days. I mean, maybe little cat naps here and there. But I actually felt my whole body like a wash through me with that first taste. And I can see how important those raw fats are in soothing my nervous system to the point where I can admit, gosh, I need to take a look at this behavior. It is not conducive to a good relationship.
Now, you had to weather the storm, and women hate to weather this storm of, you gain like 18 pounds?
Somewhere in there.
I'm sure your husband loves those 18 pounds.
He tells me.
You bet. You bet. Okay? But what happens is a lot of people, especially females, when you tell them to get over your symptom, I watch people spend thousands of dollars on herbs. And I tell them all the time, okay, let's use the herbs for other things, like opening your gallbladder, and put on 7 to 10 pounds of fat. And they look at me like I've just committed a sin. They look at me, they're angry, they're gritting their teeth, they're going, there's no way I'm going to do this, I'm going to get fat. They go through this entire temper tantrum, and what they lose long term is tremendous. When you have the kind of person that's gone sympathetic dominant, or the Vata. Now, you're not Vata, you're more Pitta. But our Vatas, those of you out in the audience who are, by your natural constitution, very slender. You don't have a lot of meat on the bone, the model type. Very, very slender. Skinny, we could even say. Whatever you want to call it. You used to be that way? Wow.
I suffered with anorexia a little bit when I was just getting out of college.
See, I didn't even know that. We didn't even put that down in the notes. But the anorexia, that's a classic extension of this self-hate thing. I don't like what I am because these things have happened to me. Something must be wrong with me. God's abandoned me. If he's abandoned me, well, I'm useless, worthless. And the jump or the leap to, I hate myself, therefore, because I'm bad, means let me disintegrate.
And yet at the same time, Dr. Medici, I could, in my head, argue against every point you had, and yet the way I acted and the way my body responded was what you just said. So my faith dictated to me that everything, I could point for point, could argue against it. And yet that was all stayed up in the echelons of my brain, whereas my entire body spoke a completely different picture.
I'm so glad we archive these shows. This is like 50 shows in one. You have to understand that. You see, you are one of the finest examples of what the whole point of doing all of this is. Why did Jesus fast in the desert? Jesus on day one was not the Jesus when the devil came. The Jesus that met the devil was the Jesus after the Jesus cleaned his blood. You see? And he got, as the man part of him, even more in touch with the God part of him so he could face temptation. It's just, you're such a wonderful testimony to this. And I love to listen to you say these things. You were saying them a few days ago, and you really have a poetry in the way you express it. I really, really mean that. And, you know, for those of you listening, go ahead, go to a psychologist and do the talkity talk. And these things are good, and they're important, because they plant the seed. But what Danielle is saying is to change the behavioral pattern, she had to clean her blood. You get the integration of opening a bile duct and thinning the blood. And this is where modern psychology is missing. What we have in psychological counseling today is sort of a compromise between, we'll do a little talkity talk, and then just to be sure, we'll put you on Prozac or Ritalin or some antidepressant just for now for the next 2 years. And, you know, sometimes people got to do this because they're going to go AWOL. They're going to slip their wrists. They're going to hurt themselves. They're not going to be able to work. They're going to lose their marriages, etc. So let's understand there is appropriate use for these things. But when you're talking about going to the place of freedom that you've gone to, you have to have a completely different model. So bravo on that. Now, this fast you did, okay? You spent 7 days, okay? You did a lot of enemas. You got bile with the enemas.
During the fast, I did not necessarily get bile with every enema because okay. I was doing 3 enemas a day.
Okay.
I was that nauseous and that.
Okay. All right.
Bad.
Now, you had some rough days where your faith was tested.
Absolutely.
Now, let me just, you'll continue, but let me just cut it and explain that. When you're doing a fast, what the body does, and this is the genius of the body. What the body does is it looks at its energy reserves and it says, well, I've got a dollar's worth of energy, and the person that lives in this body is fasting. And with this dollar's worth of energy, because they're not eating, they're going to have more energy to use doing other things. And so what the body does, and this is the intelligence of the cell, and this you watch if you get into cell bio and biochem, there's an intelligence there that unfortunately pharmaceutical insight doesn't want to respect, and unfortunately holistic medicine often doesn't even understand, not in the guts of the cell. But what the cell does when you fast, through the nervous system, from the hypothalamus gland up in the brain, directed to the cell, the hypothalamus gland tells the cell, since you're not eating, to use that energy to throw out the poisons. So those poisons overload your blood. And when you can't excrete them, as fast as they build up, from the downloading of that poison into the blood, you will have your faith tested. So you go ahead.
I was just going to say, lest anyone think that fasting is easy for me, prior to these 7-day cleanses, I had never fasted for longer than 24 hours. And every time I fasted, including these 2 7-day cleanses, my first 24 hours is a lot of vomiting, an extreme amount of nausea, a helmet of pain on my head, to the point where I'm thinking, why am I doing this? And yet, as the fast progresses, and as I allow my body to do what it needs to do to purge, there's this tremendous shift that takes place in my psyche where, prior to the fast, I was not able to admit that I had certain character flaws that needed to be worked on. And yet, with the removal of the food, there comes this opening up of the spirit, and it's easy to say, oh, I need to work on that, but without any guilt or shame attached to it, it enables you to be able to move forward and to actually work on it.
You know, I'm listening to you remember all the sorts of things you wanted to say, you know, on the spot here. There's no memory issue anymore. I mean, I'm looking at a sheet here that said, you know, memory issues 10. Your mind is really, it's like you're tagging everything you wanted to say, which is such a testimony to the whole point. But you bet, in crisis, you're going to reach to the part of yourself that really just wants to give up. Even I think you told me that you felt like in day 6 or something that you almost felt like you could die.
I totally felt like I was getting ready to die. My hands and my feet had turned completely numb, not tingly numb like when your blood supply is gone, but numb as in I can't feel them anymore. And yeah. My legs had gotten so heavy that I felt like I couldn't move them. So by the end of the 6th day, I was pleading with God not to die. And he had promised me through several scriptures he'd given me, this is not unto death, but for my glory. And
unbelievable.
In the middle of the night, I woke up going, oh, gosh, God, I guess I'm not going to die. And by the morning time, he had dictated to me that I was to finish the fast at noon. And that was when he reintegrated me with myself by giving me a vision of it.
You know, that story is not rational.
No.
But that's what everyone has to appreciate. When you meet your demon, You're not in a rational state. And this is the whole thing. The aspect to all of this, what keeps people entrapped, is the trickery of the devil, so to speak, in that what it makes you think, you buy into an illusion. You weren't going to die in that fast.
It certainly felt like it. I can tell you, everything did.
And that's the that's the point. You see, what happens is that the body is presented with the total effect of all of those negative experiences. And those negative experiences went in through the devil's trickery. And as they come out, it takes a shot at you. It asks you to actually believe in what's irrational. And this is the thing about people right now, Danielle, listening to you and I. Some of them are going to listen and say, this is just a lot of garbage. This is nonsense. You see? Because they don't understand really how changing a pattern works. To change a pattern, to feel like God loves you when you've suffered, to feel like you can heal symptomology after 20, 25, 30 years of it, is to always come to that critical mass point where you're sure you're going to die. That moment, I look for that moment with my patients. I look for that moment. And the reason I look for that moment is when they don't get on the other side of that moment, they're never going to heal. I've lost people to cancer. I've engaged people your age and younger dying of tumors, inoperable, metastatic melanomas, where the lungs are saturated with multiple tumors, who've come to me to ask to see if nutrition, okay, can help their body heal itself. And as always, I tell them, I don't cure anything. I just hope to initiate that cure in you. And I had a case where after 1 year, 12 inoperable lung tumors. This woman was 37, three kids, given up for dead. Metastatic melanoma. She had a little brown spot on the ankle. It was taken out, and 3 years later, it came back as 12 lung tumors, 2 to 3 tumors in each lung. So you can't do chemo, you can't irradiate, you can't do surgery because the tumors are diffuse. So you're given the death toll. And this is when the woman comes. And after 1.5 years, all 12 tumors have shrunk over 80%. You see? And that's when the devil, as far as I'm concerned, that is when the devil struck. Because that agony in the garden, that long, dark, deep journey that was day 6 of your fast, swept that woman away before my eyes and her husband's eyes, 2 months after all those tumors had shrunk over 80%. And I looked in her eye and I said, where are you going? You're leaving. Why are you leaving? And she said, I don't know. I can't come back. She said that to me 2.5 months before she left. You see? So I'm no theologian, but I've seen people that I felt in my heart did not want to leave yet. And this is the point. There is an agony in the garden that you go through. And if you understand, if you can galvanize yourself as you did, if you can take enough of the flickers, if you can do the same thing you did when you told your father to get out of the bathroom, the same thing you did then is the same thing you did in day 6 of this fast. And since then, you hit another level of cure. My job is to see that in your eyes the day I meet you. You see, because I have to bet on people that are ready. Because if they're not ready, you see, then everybody gets their lines crossed. You don't have a good contract.
I wonder with this woman that you just related to us, if she got lost in the process and frustrated with the process. I can relate to that, where you told us last November there is no it. And I've told my health coach multiple times how angry I was about that, because my entire life, culture, and training as a nurse taught me that there's an it, and as long as you take care of it, then you can overcome whatever disease process you're dealing with. And one thing that I've discovered on this journey, which is a word that I've never really liked, is that it's okay to be on the journey, and process is actually loving. and process is good. And those are two things and ideas that I never would have related before I met you.
Process is loving and process is good. You got it. That's what it is. That's a different way, Danielle, of saying that your healing, your last 2 years, is not a detour.
Right.
See? Isn't it the words we use that we're trying to get our audience increasingly? And guys, listen to this show again. And all of you are responsible at getting at least 2 to 3 people to listen to this show. If you love somebody that you think is spinning around in circles, make sure you sit down with them, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, and listen to this show. It'll be archived in 3 hours, hot right off the press, because you're never going to hear it better. I really don't think you will ever hear it with more precision. You just said, Danielle, in another way, in a way that's reference to your experience, what I mean when I say your healing is not a detour.
Right.
It's supposed to happen. This is why people on the other side, after the agony in the garden, they will often turn to say, in the end, it was a blessing.
Absolutely.
And I know I can back that up for many, many, many people. And those people will always say, yes, in the end, this was a blessing. It taught me where I was supposed to go and how I was supposed to serve. So healing is love. But the way you mean that right now, that's got a power to it. Bravo.
It's a process of surrendering to that process too. Allowing it to take place.
You got it. You have to get out of the way of the tendency to have the temper tantrum.
Yes. And I'm good at temper tantrums.
You had to be good at temper tantrums to survive. You see? You had to be good at stamping. You had to be good at expressing to survive. You had to get to the point where you said, I'm going to have a temper tantrum now, and you're going to leave me alone. That temper tantrum was your adaptive pattern so that you could survive the years where you were unfairly tormented. So the temper tantrum for people right up into their 70s. I have people in their 80s that are still stamping their feet on the ground. It's because they had to cling for so many years so deeply to what's ultimately an ineffective way of meeting the world. And that's the tricky part. As a child, it's appropriate.
It helps you survive.
That's the point. It's your adaptive pattern. And then on the other side of it, we have to trust, and this is where we galvanize our faith, that there's a better way to meet the world. And that's by getting out of your way and letting it happen. So we're putting these words, okay, and that's the beauty of the show. And I have to thank you for coming on. The beauty of the show is we're putting these words. Everybody out there in the audience, I mean, across the United States today, there must be 100,000 people somewhere in seminars saying the same thing, all nodding their head and smiling and looking at each other in that typical 2012 complacency about how, yes, you have to get out of the way of yourself. You have to let it happen. Healing is a journey and all these things. I'm trusting way more that someone understands that when they drop clots down their vaginal canal. I'm trusting that way more when I see bile squirt out their bodies. I'm trusting it way more when their hands and feet go painstakingly numb on the 6th day of a colon cleanse and they find their faith. You see, they strengthen it through that. And this is the point. We have a culture now that's very, very quick to go to rah-rah seminars and jump on the bandwagon on so many levels that in the end just ends up being rhetoric. And this is where we're going to miss. We're going to miss if we don't trust our experience to the shifts in the physiology of the cell. To trust our experience to those shifts in the physiology of the cell. Without that, there's no integration. You have to integrate the psychology. You have to integrate the biochemistry. And now, and I didn't forget, The other day, we were talking about some of the stretch classes you're doing. And your teacher, okay, actually said to you, okay, when you stretch your hamstring, and I think it's you feel nauseous.
Correct.
I want the audience to catch this. You stretch, and, you know, you look like an athlete at this point. Okay, you get a very strong build. When you stretch your hamstrings and you get nauseous, you were told by your very own teacher that obviously these cleanses you're doing or whatever process you're in is obviously bad for you because stretching the hamstring makes you nauseous. Again, even from our own holistic community, let alone what orthopedics would say, we have a complete and total delusion about a process. Instead of thinking that the chemicals in your tissue are now mobilizing out of the tissue and going into the blood, and that overload will temporarily make you nauseous. In other words, you're supposed to feel that way. Once you open the bile ducts, and you've opened yours now so consistently, the brain sees that. And what the brain does is it accelerates the rate at which you drop those negative imprints out of your body. So you're actually in an accelerated process in a stretch class, and your very teacher is telling you, obviously, okay, that's bad. Wow. Wow. I make a claim. Well, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say it just made me sad for her to say that and not understand the process that I'm going through.
Who drank the Kool-Aid? Once again,
it's just a different model that doesn't allow other models to exist.
It is a model that's drank the Kool-Aid. Because if you're watching a student in your class, you ought to be able to read a pattern. And that pattern, in your case, has shown on multiple levels a consolidation in the name of health. We're not making up the claims here. We're not on this show today taking an hour of everybody's time and telling them that we're going to have a rah-rah session for Danielle. These are symptoms, you see, from constipation, where you bled every day for years, to all sorts of pains throughout your body, to a menstrual cycle each month that bellied you over in pain. And in the face of all these improvements, people can have not only their health instructors, but they're family members saying, you're wasting your time. This is why I always say, stick to the physiology of the body. In other words, what I had your health coach do and what I was constantly after her to make sure she did, as well as you, is to put down on paper your flickers, your gains. You see, because you'll be called by people who have negative imprints into drinking the Kool-Aid. Suppose you bought into what that statement was. You see, suppose you decided that, gee, you know, that person's right. If I'm stretching and I get a headache or I feel nauseous, it must mean that something's wrong. Suppose you did, but you see, you're you, and so you wouldn't.
I think what's been instrumental is that relationship that's been developed between myself and my health coach, who celebrated and continues to celebrate my flickers a little bit more than I do still. But I'm learning.
That's our job.
And I'm very thankful for it because I'm learning through that to celebrate those flickers even more. So it helps me even to be able to see them.
The next frontier for you is this, and you'll testify to this today on this show. Increasingly now, when you're touched, your body starts to shake a little bit.
Yes.
Okay, which I think is worth a very brief discussion here. When you're shaking initially, and those of you listening get this, the tissue that surrounds the brain and the spinal cord is starting to unravel. The dural tissue, which is one of the three meningeal tissues. When you see people start to shake or go into waves, it's prodromal, it's prognostic of a shift in the stress patterns that brings you more deeply into parasympathetic zone. So you're dropping into deeper and deeper states of relaxation. Along the way, you have to unravel. It's like when you were shaking backed into the shower at 11 years old. You're going to unshake your way out of it. As you shake now on that table, you're going to unshake out of you what you were shaking. And on the other side of that shaking is more pleasure in your body as your energy lines begin to flow. Not understanding that has caused mankind a lot of pain. People were at one time were called witches when they had enough spiritual intelligence to work out through nature the negative imprints of their upbringing. That shake is prodromal of the release of tension in a physical tissue called dural tissue. Any of you listening whose interest has been stimulated, read the works of Fulford, of Stillman, of the entire root of osteopathic medicine to understand what I'm saying. But what we observe you to do now is very much connected to your healing, and it's your next frontier. So, mwah, here's to you. God bless you. Thank everybody for listening. Listen to the show again. Make sure you bring your friends to the show if you're interested. Danielle?
Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Dr. Medici. It's been an honor to be here.
My honor.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.